This morning, we're going to be talking about God's gift of peace. First, I want to thank those who have participated in leading us in worship this morning. I'm thankful for everyone who is willing to be part of leading us all as we worship together. I heard someone say very recently that the church itself, the congregation, is the praise team. People up here just simply help us to praise God better. This is why we come to church, to praise God for what He has done. So I hope you've had an opportunity to praise Him this morning. And now I invite you to pray with me as we ask for Him to speak to us. Loving God, Father in heaven, in the middle of a chaotic world, we come seeking refuge because You are our refuge and strength. This morning we pray that Your Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us. Help our minds to be clear of anything that is not of You. Be with us, speak to us, and may we leave this place understanding the peace that is without understanding. We ask for this because You've promised that You will give us this gift. Thank You for Your presence with us now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 8. It says this: Now there were in the same country, Judea, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid, as I imagine you and I would be also, angels appeared to us in the middle of the night, watching sheep. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the house of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Now they know how to find him. But the angels aren't quite done yet. Behind the scenes, there are many angels invisible to human eye waiting to praise God and to share the good news. And the angels appear out of nowhere, it seems, because our human mind cannot comprehend the inner workings of the angelic hosts. I can't wait till heaven where I can start to understand that. Verse 13, and suddenly there was with that angel a multitude, a crowd of heavenly hosts, heavenly angels praising God and saying, do you know the words? What are the words? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Peace on earth? Is there peace on earth? Do you know how many people have wrestled with this thought of trying to find peace on earth in a world full of chaos? Now, there are many prophecies that foretold the Messiah's birth, and many of them mention peace as one of the integral parts of the Messiah's ministry. If you turn back just one chapter to Luke chapter 1, Zechariah's prophecy, we read just a little bit this morning, verse 78 continues that where Zechariah says this, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Some of you are with me there. To guide our feet in the way of peace. The Messiah is coming to give peace. Isaiah chapter 9 also prophesies that Messiah would bring peace. You know this one as well, I'm sure. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the
Prince of Peace.
Some of you have played the rabbi and walked through Bethlehem and said those words many times. Prince of Peace. Now, what's interesting to me is that many monarchs and many rulers in the earth's history have claimed to be the Prince of Peace. Of course, you know what most of the wars fought in this world are for. For peace. I find that a bit ironic. That in order to try to get peace, we often fight. The promise of peace is woven into the fabric of the Christmas story. A major part of Jesus' mission was to bring us peace. As we read in our scripture this morning, this peace was not as the world gives. This is an important part of the story, because peace can mean lots of things in today's society, and meant lots of things back in 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born. But Jesus cautioned us just before he died. He says, I'm giving you peace, but I'm not giving it to you like the world gives it. You see, the world does promise to give us peace, doesn't it? Doesn't work at all, but it tries to promise us peace. You see, we're all wired to look for peace. Goes all the way back to creation. God designed us to live in peace. We're not wired for strife or war or anger. Rather, God wired us in the beginning for peace. So it should be no surprise to you and to me that ever since the fall, ever since Adam and Eve chose death over life, chose the devil over God, that human beings have been striving and fighting for peace. The bitter irony of human nature. There is something that we want, so we do the opposite to try to achieve peace. As if this could happen. Over the thousands of years of Earth's history, we have constantly been fighting for peace. As if peace could be achieved through war. As if peace could be achieved through anger. World leaders promised many times that they would lead their nations into peace, but often it comes at the cost of human lives. When the reality is that peace can be achieved through the cost already paid for us by one human life. See, the problem is that on one hand, we're wired for peace. But on the other hand, since the fall of humanity, we're also wired for war and for anger. The great opposite of peace. Peace cannot be achieved through anger. It cannot be achieved through strife. Peace is a gift from God, and it comes from heaven. It comes from the God of grace and love, mercy and truth. Much damage has been done to the world in this great cause, this great battle for peace, hasn't it? Even the Christmas story itself has this gruesome stain across its pages. King Herod was a valiant fighter for peace, wasn't he? We don't think of peace when we think of King Herod, do we? But what is King Herod's motivation for what he does? He wants to have his reign be one of peace. He doesn't want any interruptions so that when he's ruling, everything will be fine. Which is why he squelches anyone who rises up and he thinks will be a threat to the peace of his empire. He's doing it for peace. This is why that when he heard about this rival king born in Bethlehem, King Herod immediately went to the way that he knew how to keep peace on earth. He went to war. Matthew chapter 2, verse 16 says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry." Again, as if anger could produce peace. "Exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts for 2 years old and younger, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men." Herod, filled with the spirit of anger, which does not come from the same spirit of peace, tries to force peace. Peace cannot be forced, by the way. Tries to force peace by removing anyone who has the potential to stir up strife. And so because he hears this rumor from the wise men, and because he believes it, which is right that he believes it, he tries to keep peace by killing many, many innocent little boys. We don't like that part of the Christmas story. I don't like that part of the Christmas story. It's bloody, it's gruesome, and it's unnecessary. Of course, so are the rest of all of our fights and strifes for peace. See, when we try to fight for peace, we end up destroying peace. You and I are so much in desperate need of true peace. Not fake peace, not forced peace, but true peace. I want to say one more word about peace being the great opposite of anger. I studied through the Bible, trying to find instances of Jesus exhibiting anger. And would you like to know how many I found? One. And it's not the one you're thinking of. Whenever I think about Jesus exhibiting anger, I think of the story where Jesus cast the merchants out of the temple, right? The word anger is not in that story, though. I'm not to say that he didn't exhibit anger during that, but I think it's interesting that the Bible doesn't use that word there. The only time where he exhibits anger that I can find, and find more and tell me if you find more, because I would be very curious, but when Jesus heals a man who has a withered hand. The religious leaders come to church with an agenda to trap Jesus in his own charity. And so on their way to church, they see a man who has a withered hand. And they say, "Brother, won't you come to church with us today?" "Sure, yeah. Why don't you sit up front with us?" Wow, this is a privilege of this man. He gets to sit up front with the leaders. This is, you know, he's never been treated this well before. Little does he know, it's just a trap. They don't care about him. They're just trying to prove a point. And when they go up and sit in the front of the church, and Jesus comes up and sees the man with the withered hand, the religious leaders make sure he sees him. And Scripture says that Jesus looks at them and, quote, in anger, he heals the man. He's angry at the people who are striving for peace. But that's the only time where the word anger is used in association with Jesus' life on earth. Otherwise, he speaks peace. So if that is not peace, if peace cannot be achieved by strife and anger, what is true peace? Because that's what we all want. That's what we're all looking for. That's what I've fought for. That's what you've fought for. So how can I have this peace? What is this peace that I need? True peace is rooted in trust. Trusting in God's promises that they are all true. Believing that God will do what he says that he will do. True peace is rooted in believing the promise of God's salvation. When we come to the place that we believe that whosoever surely meaneth me, that when Jesus says, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, that whosoever actually is me and each one of you. When I trust God's word and know that he has the power to save me, this is where true peace comes from. True peace comes from knowing that Jesus promised to save us from our sins, make us a new creature. The old is gone, all things are made new. This is where true peace comes from. This is what true peace is like. True peace comes from knowing that even though the wrong seems often so strong, God is the ruler yet. True peace comes from knowing that the wrong will fail, the right will prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill toward men. So how then can I obtain true peace? Ellen White writes in the book Steps to Christ, it is peace that you need. Amen. Heaven's forgiveness and peace and love in the soul. Money cannot buy it. Intellect cannot procure it. Wisdom cannot attain to it. You can never hope by your own efforts to secure it. But God offers it to you as a gift. Without money, and without price. If it is yours, it is yours if you will but reach out and grasp it. The Lord says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Again in Ezekiel, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. This is where true peace comes from. It comes from the forgiveness of God and the salvation that God gives to you and I today. She continues, how to have true peace. She says, it is peace that you need. Excuse me, I read that already. But it is peace. Next paragraph, you have confessed your sins, and in heart you have put them away. You have resolved to give yourself to God. Now go to him. Ask that he will wash away your sins and give you a new heart. Then believe that he does this because he has promised. Oh, friends, if we can only remember that when God promises, the promises are true. Every single one of the promises in this book are true. And they are not just for people way back when. They're not just for the preacher who stands in the pulpit once a week. They are for you. Promises that God has given to you. Promises that he himself has fought for. Promises that Jesus himself has died for. So that we don't have to fight for peace any longer. Jesus gives us the gift of peace, true peace, not an artificial temporary peace, not some sort of ecstatic nirvana that never works anyhow. True peace is not a feeling. That's a thought that I've been thinking about and mulling over this past week. True peace is not a feeling. Because if it was a feeling, we'd never have it. Our feelings are up and down like a roller coaster. You notice that your feelings depend sometimes on how much sleep you get at night, and what you ate earlier, and how other people treat you. Our feelings are like a roller coaster. We go through times of happiness, and then we go down through times of grief. We go through times of anger, and then we go through times of happiness and joy and whatever. Peace is not a feeling. Peace is a gift from God. Peace is something that we believe. This is why later on, a couple paragraphs later in Steps to Christ, she says, "Do not wait to feel that you are made whole. Believe that you are made whole because He has promised you this." Peace. True peace comes from believing the promise of salvation and experiencing the forgiveness that God offers to you. Are you feeling restless today? Does peace seem like a faraway ideal? Stop trying to attain peace by your own efforts. Stop fighting for peace. Come to Jesus. Confess your sins. Give yourself to God and believe that He has washed you clean and given you a new heart. This is how to have peace. The old hymn asked the question, "Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin?" The answer comes, "The blood of Jesus whispers peace within." This is where we find our peace. The angels sang because peace is why Jesus came to earth. He is the Prince of Peace because He longs to whisper peace into your own heart, into your family, into your workplace, your classroom, into our church, into our world. What would this look like? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men, now? It would look like heaven, wouldn't it? Yeah. Until heaven, we will never live in a society that is completely peaceful, will we? Unfortunately, as noble as the causes that many have fought and still will continue to try to fight for to gain perfect peace on earth, it will never work. It is good to try to find peace on earth and to do what we can for the peace of other people. But we will never achieve true peace until Jesus comes and rescues us. This is because the battle is not a human one. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but about principalities, dark forces of evil in high places. This is what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. This is not a physical battle. This is a spiritual battle. This is why God says, "Be still and know that I am God." This is why He says, "The Lord Himself will go before you. All you need to do is be silent." Doesn't mean we shouldn't try to have peace and to share the love of God with others. Far from that. But if our goal is to find some sort of peace and some sort of perfect society, we're fighting a futile cause. Our goal is for a perfect society, but it is to prepare our own hearts to be part of that perfect society which is yet to come. This is the type of peace we are looking for. Ellen White writes that our homes should be a little taste of heaven on earth. We are called to bring heaven to earth now. This is why Jesus preached and said the kingdom of heaven is here. He wants us to be lights in the world, in the dark places of the world, shining brightly so others can see God's glory. He wants us to share his love with the people around us. He wants our homes to be places where the presence of Jesus can be felt. Are your homes places of peace today? I know too many people that home is not a peaceful place to be. Maybe that's your family this Christmas. Many homes, many families in our community here are wrestling with grief this Christmas. And home will be a place of sadness and memories and a big empty void of loss. If that's your home this season, please know that the promise is, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you even to the end of the world. God grieves with you as you are grieving. And can I say this? I will say this. I'm not asking for permission. Let me just say this. Death was never part of God's plan. So please, don't think that the loss of your loved one, the loss of your friend, the loss of someone close to you, somehow was God's perfect plan. He didn't ever want that. Jesus said words that are true for this: an enemy has done this. This is why, instead of causing grief or loss to happen, God weeps with us, grieves with us, sits with us. Do you want to know how you can comfort those around you who are going through hard times like this? Emmanuel means God with us. If you want to comfort a grieving person, a sad person, an angry person, someone who is not experiencing the peace of God, the best thing you can do is go there and be with them. Just sit there. Bring them something, whatever you can do, so that they know that you care. You don't have to say anything. Sometimes we struggle when someone is going through a time when we know they're not experiencing peace, and we say, well, I don't know what to say, so I'd rather just send a text. I appreciate those texts. By the way, some of you have sent me text messages recently, and please say, no, I'm not saying that it's not good. And I appreciate that very much. And I should say, this is the first time I've been back. I really appreciate all of your support from my family and the loss of my grandfather a couple weeks ago. Thank you so much. What I'm saying is this. Sometimes we try to hide behind anonymity. When the best thing we can do, instead of worrying, oh, I don't know what to say, what if I say the wrong thing? Don't say anything. Just go be with people. They will remember that more than anything. They won't remember the words you say. Be with them. Maybe your family is not experiencing peace this Christmas season because of anger or strife within your family. Most of the time, well, it's hard to know where this anger comes from. There are many reasons this anger and strife can happen. But the number one cause that I know I can say is that if you are experiencing anger in your family, Go to Jesus. Confess your sins to Him. Ask Him for the peace that passes all understanding. Jesus does not give us a spirit of anger. He gives us the spirit of peace. So if you find yourself, when I find myself, you know that feeling when you start to get angry and you know that the next thing you say will probably not be a good idea? I know that feeling well. This is what I try to do. It's a personal practice. I say, God, I don't want to say that. I have to step aside and just be quiet and talk to God in my head for a while. Otherwise, I'll say something that I'm going to regret and will get me and maybe others in trouble. The solution for anger is a relationship with Jesus. Spend time with Him. Study His Word. Look for Him. Look for the good in others. But be connected to Jesus. And when you feel like you're going to say something or blow up, and all of us do sometimes, run to Jesus. He's right there. When we allow Jesus to whisper His peace into our hearts by giving ourselves completely to Him, He will empower us to become a peacemaker. Isn't it Jesus who said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the earth"? They shall. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. He calls you His son, His daughter. He calls you to be a peacemaker today. The message that the angels sang at Jesus' birth, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men," is the same message that we are still to proclaim today. In fact, this message of peace on earth, goodwill to men is a huge parallel to the three angels' messages at the end of Revelation, in Revelation 14. Did you know that? What is the first thing that the angels say when they appear to the shepherds? Glory to God in the highest. What is the first words of the first angel's message? Fear God and give Him glory. You see that there's a parallel there? This is the same message. This is kind of like the introduction, the prelude to the... This is the message we are called to give. Peace on earth is coming, and we can experience it now. We don't have to experience the wrath. We don't have to experience the beast. We don't have to fall prey to the deception of Babylon. We can experience God's peace by knowing Him. Today, in these last days of Earth's history, God is calling you to echo the song of the angels at Christ's birth. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill to men. So friends, let the peace of God dwell in you. Share God's peace with your family, your co-workers, your school, our fellow church members. When you do this, you will find peace in this precious and present truth that Jesus Christ is truly born to save. Many years ago, a song was written, "Good Christian Men Rejoice." And the third verse, "Good Christians now rejoice with heart, soul, and voice. Now you need not fear the grave. Jesus Christ is born to save." He is born to save us. This is the truth. This is the gospel of peace. That God, He says, "I will make peace with them, and they will make peace with me." Someone once decided that the tomb needed an extra measure. Inserted two words in the middle of that verse. We won't sing them this morning, but in my mind, whenever I sing them, they're always there. Good Christians now rejoice with heart, soul, and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. Now you need not fear the grave. Peace, peace. Jesus Christ is born to save. Will you accept the peace that Jesus gives for you? The peace that he died so you could have. So that we no longer have to strive for peace. We no longer have to fight for peace. We can accept the gift of peace that God gives us. And we can go and work for God, sharing the gift of hope and peace, joy, truth, grace, mercy with the world. That's something to rejoice about. Will you accept that peace today? Would you please stand as we sing this closing song?